How we doing? Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We should be joined momentarily by former All-Pro linebacker in Sean Merriman. Good night of sports last night. How about that surprising one? I saw that the Florida Panthers, they lost the Bruins 5-1 in game one of the second round of that series. And I think Florida did strike first. And then after that, you had a big second period by the Boston Bruins. So the Florida Panthers, to me, are the team to beat in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And to see them go down last night, you know, look at Boston. A lot of people were sleeping on them headed into this postseason. They were up 3-1, and then they blew the lead, and they won Game 7 up against Toronto. So they did strike first. And last night in the association, you had the Timberwolves just blowing out the Nuggets and taking a commanding 2-0 lead. And you also did have the Knicks-Pacers game where there was questionable officiating and bad officiating. But you did get to see the New York Knicks pull out a victory. And tonight, we have the Cavs and the Celtics game one. We have the Mavericks and the Thunder game one as well. And you do have my hockey team, the Rangers, trying to take a 2-0 lead up against the Hurricanes. And you have the Avalanche and the Stars getting that series underway after the Stars found a way to win a Game 7 up against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. But first, let's talk to Sean Merriman, the former Pro Bowl and All-Pro linebacker. Make sure you check out Lights Out Sports, free sports TV by athletes for fans, founded by former NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman. Lights Out Sports is a new free TV streaming service showcasing exciting sports action from around the world. Download and watch sports channels, live events, movies and TV shows all for free. Sean, appreciate the time. Thanks so much again. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well, my man. How are you?
Well, doing fantastic. Appreciate you jumping on board with us. What did you make? Let me start you off with the charge before we get out to the Lights Out Extreme Fighting. What did you make of their draft early? They took Joe Alt, the offensive lineman out of Notre Dame, and then the second round traded up to go get Ladd McConkey out of Georgia.
I was shocked, you know, to be honest, like everybody else. And I was not of the pick. I was shocked that the wide receiver was a conversation all the way up until a couple days before the draft, right? We all knew that Marvin Harrison Jr. was going to probably end up with the Cardinals. And the second guy in route was Malik Nabers. You know, in fact, Malik took his visit out there and was posting on his own social media about looking at houses in L.A. And so I think that maybe even he thought that he was going to be the draft pick. And if you look at his press conference, I'm a body language reader, and it didn't seem like he was thrilled about being with the Giants. I could be wrong in that. But if you go back and look at Jim Harbaugh and what he's establishing right now, it made complete sense, right? He went out and got two running backs, you know, got Gus and got J.K. Dobbins. He beefed up some parts of the defensive lineman, and he's really just setting the tone. He's sending a message to the AFC West. We're going to run the football. We're going to protect Justin Herbert. We're going to stop the run. And what he's doing is he's establishing an identity that hasn't been there in quite some time. So at first, it didn't make any sense. And then I sat back and looked at what he's building, and it made complete sense. This is a total Jim Harbaugh pick.
You know, it's kind of funny, Sean Merriman, because when we first started talking about the draft, I'm like, all right, seeing the way that Harbaugh built Michigan, it was running the ball. It was great offensive lines year after year after year. I'm like, maybe they'll take an offensive lineman. But then everyone was talking about wide receivers, including yours truly. And I thought, like you, it was going to be a wide receiver. And I had Joe Alt on the day before the draft. And I asked him about the Chargers because a lot of people thought he was going to go to Tennessee. And he's like, I didn't even have a top 30 visit with them. So maybe this was like the gamesmanship that goes on, where you make everyone think one thing and you kind of hide the pick because you were fearful someone else was going to try to get in front of you to take away Joe Alt.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that. There was a chess match playing behind closed doors. In fact, I mean, the amount of times that Jim Harbaugh has brought up the greatness and how good J.J. McCarthy was, I almost thought that he was trying to get one of these guys to move up in the top three or four, and maybe he was going to go try to get Marvin Harrison Jr., right? I mean, there was a lot of games playing behind the scenes. But if you really look at what he's trying to establish and what he did at Michigan, like you said, they ran a football, and look at the big plays that was created down the field when he was running the football at Michigan. Most of his 30-plus yard plays were because they were so effective in the run game. Well, what do we know that Justin Herbert can do? Justin Herbert can sling it down the field. And so if you're running the football effectively, You're getting these pass rushers, which they got plenty of them. They got to deal with, including Max Crosby in that division. Every pass rusher's nemesis is someone who's capable of running the football because you can't pin your ears back and go. That's when those big plays hit downfield. So I sat back after that draft pick and I said, that made complete sense for the mentality that they're trying to establish with the Chargers now.
How much of an impact do you think Harbaugh will bring in year one on the field? Clearly, he's 10 times better of a head coach than Brandon Staley is. We know that. But right now in the AFC West and all of football, it's the Chiefs and it's everybody else. But the Chargers and their future is so important because I don't trust the Broncos. I don't trust the Raiders. Like, the Chargers have the quarterback. They have the coach. They need to find a way to close the gap in the AFC West to give us all, the rest of us, any sort of resemblance of hope. So it's not like Brady and Belichick and no one else in the AFC East as it was for all those years. So year one, what do you kind of expect with starting to see what this team's going to look like, at least, and having enough on paper from the Los Angeles Chargers?
I don't think you have to wait till the season to see what he's capable of doing. When is the last time we've seen a strength and conditioning coach do press conferences when he came in? We haven't seen it, right? I mean, seriously, we haven't seen it. And so they're establishing day one on who they want to be before the season even starts. And look, we don't know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do during the season. We don't know if they're going to win 10 games, 12 plus games. We have no idea. But we do know is because of Jim Harbaugh's history that he's come into organizations that are far less talented in programs that are far less talented than the Chargers have and turned them around. So we know that they're going to be a better team. We know that they're going to have identity. Going to the game, I went to every home game last year and some of the away games. I'm watching the games and I'm like, who in the hell, who's going to show up today? Are they a physical team? Are they a speed team? Do they play great? You had no idea who they were because they had no identity. And so the identity with these guys now is that you bring in two running backs. You got two capable running backs. They get your 1-2 punch back there. They're going to pound the football. They're going to protect Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is not going to get attacked as he was this past year and risk injury. They're going to stop the run, and everything else builds off of that. And this is why I love that the most, because we all know what the NFL has become now. It's become a pass-happy, big quarterback franchise league, and it got away from the running game. They got to devaluing running backs. But guess what? That run game sets up everything. It is so frustrating as a pass rusher. It's so frustrating and demoralizing for a defense, for a team that can run the football. Once that happens, now everything opens up. This is always been the key to winning football games. And over the last several years, it's become this quarterback-friendly, pass-happy league that is not going to take you very far unless you got a pass from Mahomes. That's it.
And you bring up, you know, having that Patrick Mahomes and a guy, right, that you really believe in, and especially in the AFC, you can't just have a good guy. You have to have a great guy. As Sean Merriman's here with us for a few more minutes, I'll stay inside division. The biggest shock of the draft, obviously, was Penix going 8 with the Kirk Cousins, move that they did this offseason. But if you would have told me Denver, you know, 2 weeks ago before the draft would have been taking Bo Nix at 12, I would have never believed it, because I just think Bo Nix is a guy that could have a ceiling of good. I don't think he has a ceiling of greatness. When you saw the Bo Nix pick, what was that initial reaction?
It wasn't even a pick. It was a follow-up question that Sean Payton compared Bo Nix to what he's seen with Patrick Mahomes coming out of college. That there is more shocking than anything. You got to have a franchise quarterback in this league. You can't win without one. I just talked about how important they've made the quarterback position and being able to pass the football and being able to put up points. Everybody's going to get their guy for the next 5 or 10 years. So they had no choice, I believe, in going to get Bo Nix or somebody like a Bo Nix. With that being said, you need more help than that, buddy. They have so many holes to fix. And to move up, to do what they did with Bo Nix, and this is no shot at Bo Nix at all. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I don't think he's going to move the needle stepping on the field. He's going to be a guy that has to work into that position. He's going to have to be a guy to build up. I don't think he instantly makes them better. And that's where they're going to have the problem with, because we know in this league, you don't win, which they didn't win last year. They had high expectations of Sean Payton coming in there. If you don't win in the next year or two, Sean Payton could not be there. He may not be there. And that's just the way the NFL works.
And here's the part. Like, I don't think Bo Nix is great. I understand taking a quarterback, but it felt like they didn't have to take a quarterback this year because, as you're saying, they have to build that roster. Like, outside of Patrick Surtain, there's not a lot of players that you look in that roster and say, I have to have if I'm another team and I have to covet. And I just wonder, because Nix is going to play, he should start day one. Like, who are you going to throw in next year? Zach Wilson week one? Like, give me a break. And I just fear that they're going to ruin him before he really even gets a chance.
I think you're right. And I hate the fact that that happened. I'm totally against teams throwing young quarterbacks in the fire when they're not ready, right? I hate the fact that the organizations have moved away from developing players. I hate it. And I really hate it when you got a guy who I don't think is capable and ready just yet. He may be the guy down the road. But you got to go out and get you a veteran to go out and start week one. Go ahead and let Zach Wilson back whoever up. Go get you a pass rusher. If we all know that if you're playing in the division with franchise quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, which they are in the AFC West, go and get you a pass rusher that can put some pressure on the guys, go out and make some plays for you, and live and die what you have in the open market, that quarterback position. Bring Zach Wilson in. He can step in and provide something if the starting quarterback didn't happen. But you're setting yourself up to not be good for the next 2 or 3 years, and you may not be there. Those type of things, when they bring you in as high and pay you as much money as they have, they want immediate change. They want to compete immediately. I don't know if they can compete immediately with Bo Nix. He may be the guy down the road. I just don't think he's a franchise player to come in and change what they're doing right now.
Yeah, and you got Jared Sitton there. You got Zach Wilson. He's going to beat them out. He's ready enough to go in and play. Just that the lack of weapons really do concern me there, and I don't think anyone could go there and have success instantly in year one. All right, Sean Merriman, before we let you run, tell me what we got cooking up with the extension, the new venture here with Lights Out Extreme Fighting.
Yeah, we got Lights Out Sports, my free multi-sports platform. Now we're available on all major platforms, Roku. I think I've seen it pop up the other day on Apple TV. We're there now, the Fire TV, Apple, Android, we're all there. More announcements. We're having 15 channels, starting in a few weeks with speed vision, motorsports, outdoor fishing and hunting, outdoor America, billiards, darts, chess. So I wanted to create a locker room where you come to a place, a platform that's just sports. And nothing against those other streaming services. I'm still a subscriber to the other ones, but I don't go there for just sports. With Lights Out Sports TV, you can download it now, all major platforms. And now Lights Out Extreme Fight, we got a big fight May 18th in Long Beach, California. We'll be streaming live. We have a 5-hour show in one night, 19 fights. They'll be live on Lights Out Sports TV. So make sure you guys download that. This is incredible, and we wanted to come in and make some waves with these awesome content partners, and so people can come there and see all sports, and it is 100% free.
Sean, appreciate it. Good deal. Thanks so much for doing this once again.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Sean Merriman joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and he was like a lot of us. You know, we did not think that Joe Alt was going to be the 5th overall pick to the Los Angeles Chargers, you know. Before, you know, 2-3 months before the draft, maybe offensive line makes sense, but it seemed like everyone was mocking Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze to the Chargers. But with Harbaugh trying to do with Slater, and now you have Joe Alt into the fold, and he'll probably play right tackle. Harbaugh, what he does is he builds from inside out, not outside in. So he already has the quarterback. That's the biggest part. But to build the rest of the team, he's okay with losing a Mike Williams and a Keenan Allen. He's fine with that. He's okay with taking a chance on running backs with injury history and losing a guy like an Austin Ekeler. But he wants to make sure that that team is just excellent in the trenches, and then he'll worry about putting the skill position players around Justin Herbert, who we know just on his own can do enough to at least continue to swim and not sink in the NFL. All righty, we will take a break. We will come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And when we do return, we've reached a new low here as a company and as a network. I saw something today when I was getting ready for the show. From a hygiene standpoint, it may single-handedly be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in this office. And trust me, I was, since I grew up, right, kind of in this company, I saw when we were in the old building, Astoria, in the Kauffman Astoria Studios, which was the biggest dump ever. It, that place, man, they should have like locked my dad up on, on you know, called Child Protective Services for letting me breathe the air there in Kauffman Astoria Studios. But what I saw today when I was getting ready for the show, I cannot believe what I just saw. We'll get to it on the other side. You know, when you work in a radio station, nothing should surprise you when you talk about hygiene and a lack of cleanliness. There have been days where I've walked into the stalls here and there's been a Baby Ruth bar, let's just say, still floating in the toilet. There have been days where I have seen, let's see how I want to say this, like cockroaches. And I'm not talking about the people that we work with, but I've seen cockroaches around the building. There have been days where someone has left food out over the weekend and there is a rancid smell. Heck, there is a radio show down the hall on WFAN that once dunked their host in milk, a gallon of milk, and he left the shirt in his office for over a weekend, and you came in on a Monday, and there was a terrifying smell. So I've seen a lot of disgusting things. Remember during the pandemic when no one updated the vending machines, and you would get like a drink, and the sodas would explode? They were frozen and they would fall out of the machine and it would explode and it would go everywhere. But I'm getting ready for the show today. And I'm in the production studio and I'm recording my sports minutes. I did a sports minute on Jamal Murray. And I forget, oh, I did a sports minute on the bad officiating in the Knicks and Pacers game. And, you know, I'm pretty independent. You know, some other hosts, they got to sit down. They got to have a producer record for them and all that stuff. Like, I'll record my own sports minutes. I will sit down. I'll fire up Burley, the program that we use to record it. I'll turn on the mic myself. And then I'll send it off to the powers that be that produce the sports minute, whether it's Stu, Hickey, D-Cell, whoever. So as I'm getting ready to put my hand on the mouse to record on the computer, the sports minute, I see a floss stick. Now, we have floss sticks in the bathroom, which, not for nothing, I think that's kind of gross. The floss sticks in, like, if it was in your own personal bathroom, okay, but in a public bathroom, in a big communal jar, am I putting my hand in ever using the floss stick? No. I've used the Q-tips in there. Sometimes I've used the mouthwash. I do wonder, though, if anyone's ever taken a swig from the mouthwash. There's cups there. I do wonder that. It would not put it past me here, though, at this office for someone to do that. But when I went to go put my hand on the mouse, and I see a floss stick from the bathroom, that makes me think that the floss stick was used. Because if you were using it in the bathroom, like, you would think you would just throw it out. But I don't think anyone just took the floss stick and put it in their back pocket and used it for a day or an hour to be named later. Like, I kind of think you either use it in the bathroom and throw it out, or you take it with you out of the bathroom, you walk over to where you were and what you had to get done, you use it, and then a normal, sane human being would throw it out. But whoever this savage was, whoever this despicable, disgusting human being was, left it on a public workstation place next to a computer mouse where people's hands are on all the time. So, like, I'm wondering who it could be. So, like, I'm thinking of our lineup. Rome is not located out of New York City. JR in Atlanta. Bart in Milwaukee. Bill in LA. So there's three shows that emanate here from in the Infinity Sports Network headquarters. It can't be Amy, because I think Amy's on our honeymoon right now. And I don't think Amy gives the vibe of someone that would use a flossing device and then have the despicable kind of actions of leaving it in the production studio. I don't think it's Maggie. There's no way, Perloff, right, is too high maintenance to be recording his own sports minutes. He probably does them in this studio, not the production studio. And it wasn't me. So I don't think it's anyone on the air. Now, Samter, he's not here. I don't know where the heck he went. But maybe it was him. Maybe it was Samter, since he bailed on this segment. I don't know. Why aren't we supposed to be working right now? I feel like Samter should be here. It's definitely not Stu. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to our guys. Now, every show here, whether the host is here or not, they have people behind the scenes that work here. Definitely not Hickey. Hickey's a clean person. Could be Shep. I would not put it behind Shep. And Shep is often in that production room. So I can't rule out Shep. But I think Shep would at least be courteous enough to throw out the flossing device. Is it EJ in the mornings? I don't think it's Pete the Body Bilotti. I don't think it's D-Cell. You know, I'm going through. It can't be, like, is it Boccioni? I don't, it could be Boccioni. Seems like a nice kid. Sometimes the people you least expect it to be. Like, I'm trying to figure out who this is, Stu. Who do you want to throw under the bus and speculate that it may be?
See, that's the problem. I just don't know who would. See, if it was a weekend situation where this was a Monday and it was everyone from the weekend.
And we don't really know everyone.
Yes.
A lot of part-timers.
There's nobody that's full-time that's here.
Yeah.
You know, after our show until, you know, when you saw it before your show. So, like a 20-hour span. I just, there's nobody that comes to mind that I'd be like, it's definitely that person.
I hate to narrow it down to three people, but I'm going to narrow it down to three people. Because that production studio doesn't get used a lot. It either gets used for, like, if you're doing a later show, you got to record an interview, or if you got to record a sports minute, or maybe something post-production. I'm going to say I've seen Shep there a lot. I don't know EJ's schedule, and I like EJ. I've had a lot of good times with EJ in the room. It doesn't seem like something EJ would do, but I could see him occupying that space, or Boccioni. I think it's one of those three people. Now, could it have been someone down the hall that used that? Like, hey, you know what? Could be a Pete Hoffman. It could be a Pete Hoffman. He seems like he's someone that gets a lot of food stuck in those teeth, and he needs a little bit of some floss. It could be Hoffman. But man, that's absolutely disgusting. The most disgusting thing, though, outside of the time the number two was in the toilet and someone didn't flush, was, I'll never forget this. And you know this person. This is the time I wish we were recording all the shows via video. I was doing the weekend overnight, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. Our good pal, mutual friend, Ben Horowitz. Ben was notoriously known for doing shows and dipping during the shows. So you'd always have this big dip spit cup. And like, it was rather repulsive. It was very gross. And I'll never forget. I don't remember what the rant was about. But I'm in the middle of a rant, and I see Ben at like 3:30 a.m. Eastern time, a little bit tired, which is fair. And I always have a rule of thumb, like I don't want to see anyone yawning until 4 a.m. Eastern time. Like you can't be yawning in the first 2 hours of the show. Afterwards, okay, get me out of here from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. But it was like 3:30 a.m. Eastern time, and I thought I saw Ben get a little tired, yawning, go back And I see him go to grab a cup, and he takes a sip. He drank, though, his dip spit, and not, this shows you how unhealthy Ben Horowitz is. He was like drinking like a Coke or something, or he thought. And that dip spit went all over the studio because he spat it out. That was the hardest I think I forget who I was ranting about, but let's just say it was like Paul George, for example. I don't know why. That was just the name that came to the tip of the tongue. And I'm like, Paul George, he didn't show up in the playoff game. Oh, my God, what just happened? And I was laughing hysterically because Ben Horowitz was drinking his dip spit. That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Oh, you know what? There's one other. This actually may take the top prize. This was disgusting. Someone once clipped their toenails. Act just said, oh, he just walked in. He's like, ah. Someone once clipped their toenails in one of the production studios, and there were spare nails on the floor. So Ben Horowitz, by mistake, drinking his dip spit. Yeah, that happened. It's acts like I haven't heard that name in a while. The toenails getting cut are the two worst. But Ack, I know that you're not on Twitter that much, but you just follow it for just the sake of the job. We're talking about how when I was walked into the production studio today by the mouse, there, you know those floss sticks that they give out in the bathroom here?
Yeah, that's, you got to throw that out.
Right, that's by the mouse and the production studio.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's very wrong.
Was it
very
you?
Wrong. For A, I don't use them here. B, I wouldn't leave them there. Mm-hmm. You know, on this point, though, there was a mention in Larry Brooks' column in the New York Post the other day about why the Rangers are successful.
Okay.
And, or one, you know, it's a small point to a larger picture.
Yeah, yeah. I'm listening.
And he said, and I don't remember when this was. I don't know if it was recently or a couple of months ago, but the locker room was clearing out after the game, and somebody threw, you know, one of the tape that they use for the pads.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody threw it toward the garbage can, and it missed, and it hit the floor. And in a matter of seconds, Vincent Trocheck picked it up and put it in. And that's the way they are. They leave the room clean. The Devils that he covered with the great Stanley Cup championships teams that they had in the early part of the century did the exact same thing.
So you're saying we're not the President Trophy winners around here at the Affinity Sports Network?
And he talked to Vincent Trocheck about this. And
like
Vincent,
the San Jose Sharks.
And Vincent, there's a book, and I don't remember what the name of the book was, but there's a book that talks about leadership, and one of those things is doing those little things.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had three guesses on who it could be. And I guess that maybe it's EJ in the morning's producer. I guess that it could be potentially Shep or James Boccioni. Like, I'm just thinking of people that could be in that room. But I'm on to Samter. Because, like, I don't know if Samter took a half day or something. But Samter for this segment has just been gone. And I teased this. He knew what I was going to talk about, and he left. So I wonder if it's Samter.
There was Chipotle in the commissary.
Wait. Are you freaking kidding me? This is where this guy was? He missed the entire segment because he's stuffing his face with Chipotle?
In fairness, no, but that factors into it, though.
All right, now hold on. You missed this segment because you're stuffing your I can't call you fat, but your large mouth with Chipotle?
No. I actually got to Chipotle like 9 minutes ago, and then I got a very important phone call from somebody that I could not miss. And so I ended up holding the Chipotle in my hand while I was taking this phone call.
I
didn't
want to
give that up, but I can vouch for that.
They only have chips back there, chips and dip. So if it took me more than 10 minutes to get chips and dip, then there's something
what,
seriously
what kind
wrong
of dip do we got there? It's not the guac. Ben Horowitz
no,
dip
no,
spit,
they,
right?
They've got guac, sour cream, and some pico de gallo.
Did you bring any for Stu and I?
I have a gigantic plate right here.
I don't think so. I see one bowl there, buddy.
This is for sharing.
Well, are you trying to kill me?
It goes back to my point just a couple of moments ago.
Yes. You know, if Samter would have brought you your own individual bowl,
exactly.
Stu, myself, we wouldn't be the San Jose Sharks.
Hey, listen, I bought pizza Pizza Friday last week. Yeah.
Short memories.
Yeah,
exactly.
What have you done for me lately?
What do you want, like a medal or something?
No, but you call me this like selfish person who doesn't bring food for other people. I buy people pizzas. I bring food for Stu all the time.
One pizza.
Because one time someone asked me about Shake Shack for you, you keep harping back on it.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
What about those days you had, you know, all that corned beef from the Second Avenue Deli? An overload?
Now, hold on. You know that I can't have guacamole.
Why not? You're allergic?
I'm not allergic, but outside of one scoop of guacamole, I will be in the bathroom throwing up, and it will just be disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So there's some
guacamole and mushrooms.
there's some ingredient that doesn't sit well with
and my mother's the same way. She can't have avocado or mushrooms as well.
Okay.
So, Selfish Shanter, he's back. Guess who's back? Back again. All righty, we will take a break. I just got a poll question from that guy you like. Zach Gelb, which is worse? Drinking dip spit, public toenail clippings, or Zach talking about all the above? Very active poll question.
I go with drinking the dip spit.
That's the most disgusting.
Well, it's just...
the toenails...
I've seen other people do that accidentally.
So the dip spit is like a mistake? Someone bringing a toenail clipper into work and then cutting their toenails? Yeah. That I have to think is the most
disgusting. And leaving it behind.
Yeah.
That's like a conscious move.
Probably Mirage, right? We had to set odds. All right, let's get the latest update. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's get a final update on the poll question, which you can always find at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb. How far will the Minnesota Timberwolves make it this season? Denver will come back and win the series, conference finals, NBA finals, or winning it all. Here are the calculations. Conference finals, 15%. Denver's going to come back and eliminate them this round at 17.4%. Winning it all at 22.2%, and the NBA Finals at 45.5%. Stu, what's your answer here? How far will the Minnesota Timberwolves make it this season?
I think whoever wins this series between them and the Nuggets will make the finals. So I think they will make the finals, and if they get there, I think they'll lose to the Celtics. Ooh. So get to the finals is my answer.
Gotcha. Samter, what do we got cooking here? Outside of your chips that you brought to us.
Same.
Okay, so you're going NBA Finals. How are those chips, by the way?
Yeah, they're good. They're chips.
Was there any queso back there?
No. No, I don't think so. There was some corn, some beans.
Any beefsteak?
No, there was no chicken, no steak, nothing like that. No.
Nothing?
No, just chips and dips. I think there was chicken and steak at some point, but no longer.
Gotcha. You usually have a good nose for that. I thought you would have smelt that a little bit earlier.
No, I'm busy at work, you know. I'm focusing on cutting up videos. I'm not thinking about food back there.
All I'm saying is, why are you so sensitive today? All I was saying was you usually have a pretty good read on when the food is put out there. That's all I'm saying. I'm surprised you didn't smell the steak or the chicken a little bit earlier. I'm going to say winning it all. The way that I would kind of rank these, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Right now, winning it all is 1. I guess going to the NBA Finals would be 2. Denver coming back, 3. Conference Finals, 4. I said this to Calvin Booth before the series started. I really feel like this is the Western Conference Finals. No disrespect to the Mavs. No disrespect to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think these are the two best teams in the Western Conference. And I am devouring the flavor of the month right now. And it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think they're going to win it all. If not, I think they win this series, win the next, and then maybe lose to the Celtics in the NBA Finals. Then Denver coming back. But I'm not going to say OKC nor the Mavericks end up beating them. Alrighty. Advancing to the games tonight, as we do start off 2 series as well when it comes to the association. Here's what I want to see. And here are my 2 biggest questions with Cavs, Celtics, and Mavs and Thunder. Let's start off with the Mavs and Thunder. You know the Thunder, the number one seed. They're a really damn good team. What Anthony Edwards is to Minnesota is what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is to OKC. And he is a phenomenal player. He's a guy that is a future face, like one of those guys that are the faces of the NBA. My question isn't really about Oklahoma City. Paul Bissonnette, Biz, he does a great job spitting chiclets and NHL on TNT. He does this thing with the Rangers where he called them the Fugazis. And then when he thinks the Rangers are real, he calls them the For Realsies. That's my question that I have with the Dallas Mavericks. Are they For Realsies? That's what I'm wondering. Because in round 1, you saw what this team could be. Kyrie being basketball number 1. You have Luka Doncic. We know how lethal of a 1-2 punch that could be. But how consistent is that going to be? We've seen this team before get to the conference finals just a few years ago when you had Jalen Brunson, you had Luka Doncic, a team that had no business being in the conference finals. They got there. This group, though, in a league where there's no more super teams, it's dynamic duos, it's 1-2 punch. Can Dallas continue to bottle this up and carry it over from one series to the next? It's one thing to beat the Clippers, who this time of the year, they're the walking wounded, they're always hurt. Now you have a young, fun, number one seed in the Oklahoma City Thunder. My biggest question with the Mavs, are they for real? What we got to see a glimpse of in the first round, will it replicate and take it a step further in the second round? Because they have the star power to get to the NBA Finals. They, with Luka and Kyrie, they have the star power where it's not out of the realm of the possibilities to get there. Do I expect it to happen? No. I am picking the Mavs in this series, and I think they'll lose in the next round. But what happens in this series is going to shape how we view the Mavs moving forward. Now, let's get to the Cavs and the Celtics. The Cavs were a one-man show in Game 7. You had the great 18-point comeback. Donovan Mitchell was absolutely sensational. My biggest question here has nothing to do with the Cavs. I don't think the Cavs are good enough with the way that they're currently constructed to take care of the Celtics in 7 games. Like, I don't think they get 4 wins up against the Boston Celtics. The Cavs are a team that are stuck right now in the good category, and they're not going to be great. This is more of Boston to me, where Boston usually makes it tougher than what it needs to be. You go back to other years where they had chances to close teamouts, didn't do it. Series extends. You got to win a game 7 or you lose a game 7. But for this Boston team, if they want me to start to think, there's not a lot they could do to impress in the Eastern Conference. You know, you play Jimmy Butler round 1, Jimmy Butler was hurt. You play the Heat round 1, Jimmy Butler was hurt. Now you get a Cavs team that's good, not great. You should take care of them at most 6 games. Now, the winner of the Knicks-Pacers series, the Knicks and Pacers, they're both going to be a challenge, but I don't think either of those teams are going to beat the Celtics in a 7-game series and get to 4 games. So what I want to see for the Celtics, I'll give you one blip. I'll allow you to drop 1 game to the Cavs, but I want to see if Boston can sweep or if they could take care of the Cavs in 5. Because even if Kristaps doesn't play in this series and he's out for game 1 tonight, and who knows when he's going to return. But even if he doesn't play at all this series, Boston should win this series. And I said at most, this series should go 6 games. But if Boston wants to make a statement, if Boston wants to show me that maybe, just maybe, this team could be different than the team in previous years, you could get to a conference finals, you could advance to the NBA Finals, and you could get 4 wins in June to win the NBA Finals, another Larry O'Brien trophy. You got to quickly dispose of this Cavs team. Don't make this be where you have a great effort in game 1, and then you get stunned in game 2, and then you split games 3 and 4, and then you win game 5 and you win game 6. Don't do that. You know, I'm not going to go in saying you have to sweep them. I'm not. That'd be disrespectful because the Cavs are a good team, just not a great team. But, like, if this even goes 6, I'll be kind of disappointed. This should be, it feels like this should be a 5-game series and the Celtics should gentlemanly sweep them. They should have a gentleman sweep. That's what it feels like it should happen. But there's still a lack of trust with Boston. Boston this year had an incredible regular season. And everyone said, so what? Will it matter in the postseason? Because we've seen now, right, this is what happens when a core early overachieves. When Boston had Gordon Hayward and they had Kyrie and those guys weren't really factors. And you had the emerging stars of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You know, Marcus Smart was in the fold. Scary Terry Rozier, right? They had that conference finals where Tatum throws the dunk down in a game 7 up against the Cavs, and you thought, up against LeBron, you're like, oh, maybe they're going to win this game, and they lose the game. And they've been to a few other conference finals, and they've been to an NBA finals. But this group went from overachieving early to now underachieving. So don't have a series where you drag it out and you make it tougher than it needs to be. Keep your legs fresh. Get rid of this Cavs team in five games. And it's not going to make me say, okay, the Celtics are winning the NBA Finals. But it won't give me a reason to criticize them and say, oh, here's the same old Celtics once again. All righty, that concludes a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. In the next hour, I will see if I will purchase a ticket and go to the Rangers game tonight. I think I'm going to game five on Monday. So I think I'm going to watch this one on the couch tonight. I have really good seats tomorrow. I got offered a ticket to go and invited to go to the Knicks game, which I'm looking forward to, where if you watch tomorrow on TV, I may be calling a play. That's how close I am. I'm sitting right behind the Knicks bench tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. So I think I'm going to take it easy tonight. It won't be easy because I'm going to have a lot of stress watching this game, but I'm fine embracing the stress this time of day. I'm not going to complain about how stressful it is to watch a sports game. But I'll watch my Rangers tonight. I think on my couch. We'll see if that changes in the next 60 minutes. Going to the Garden tomorrow for Knicks and Pacers. Reggie Miller's going to be in the house. That's going to be exciting with Reggie Miller and Spike Lee. That story never gets old. And then on Monday, if there is a Game 5, that'll be a Game 5 between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. I will be back at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Big thanks to Sean Merriman. Big thanks to Samter, even though I thought he could have brought us a little bit more chips and no guacamole. Big thanks to Stu and each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.